Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Pat Barry.
And my name is Jeff Quinto. And Pat and I get together on a pretty regular basis to talk about the most important thing in our life, our relationship to Jesus Christ.
Today, we're going to be talking about prayer for a second time. Today, we're talking about prayer in a time of trial. But first, let's do a quick review from the previous prayer discussion. Some of the topics that we hit on. Regardless of the situation, God is in control and answers our prayers in four ways.
And the four ways are, the first answer is yes, that's the one we want. We want God to say yes. The second answer is no, we don't like that very much. The third answer is not now. And the fourth answer is not that way.
That is correct. Now, as human beings, we often are in the mode of, hey, I've got this. We're in control. I don't need any help from the outside. But that's not always a good thing to do. In fact, oftentimes prayer will begin to get serious out of necessity or, you know, in a time of trial.
That's true. And you know, as they say, there's no atheists in foxholes. When we're in a jam, when we're in a big jam, when we're in a situation that is so terrible, that is an existential threat to us, we become believers. We become believers because we only have one thing left, and that one thing left is God. And the way that we access God is through prayer. So even if we've scoffed at prayer otherwise, when things are bad enough, chances are we're back to prayer.
Absolutely. We're looking for help, answers, direction, all kinds of things. You know, and it's easy, relatively speaking, to have a good prayer life when times are good because you're thankful, right? And you're saying, oh, God, thank you for blessing me and thank you for this day. And you're thanking and praising. And not that that's bad. And you can have a very good prayer life in doing that. And you should do it. But really, sometimes, as I heard a few weeks ago on a broadcast, a different broadcast, but a broadcast, if you want an unshakable faith, sometimes you need to be shaken. So if you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you're just a human being, you are going to go through times of trial, times where you're just going to look up and say, what is going on? And as odd as this may seem, those are the times when you can actually get much closer to Jesus and actually have your faith grow.
Absolutely. And what happens is, when you get to that point, you're sort of left open and you have no defenses. You have only one place to go, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you go. And you go there because it's the only thing you can think of when you're in a situation that is so terribly horrible, beyond your control. You go to the only place you know, the only place that can give you help in that situation.
So, Jeff, when we're talking about times of trial, there's two that come to mind for me. There's some spiritual trials, which I don't know if we want to cover that today. In fact, maybe that could be a different podcast coming up in a while. When I think about trials, there's trials that people go through every day here on earth that I would call like earthly trials. So what do you think of? When you think of like earthly trials, what do you think about?
Yeah, well, I think there's a whole range of them, and I think they vary greatly in intensity. So we're talking about here, you started off a second ago and you said, you know, we should be praying all the time and it's easier to pray when things are going well. And, you know, we're told to pray without ceasing, to rejoice always, those kinds of things. It is easy. If you're a person of faith, it is easy to pray at that time, but it's very necessary. And it's even more necessary when things go wrong. And things go wrong, I believe, in kind of a range of wrong. So you have, you know, maybe you have a problem at work that you pray about, that maybe you have a problem in your marriage or your life or with your kids, those kind of things, problems that are normal. But I think what we're talking about in this session is really about problems that are greater than that, that are almost existential in the way that you're praying about because you have no other place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I believe is important. And where prayer really comes into focus is when you have no place else to look. And I think that is where prayer is the only thing you have. And as the saying goes, when all you have is God, you find out that God is enough. And it's true. And I remember when our son Creighton, who has had a series of health problems throughout his life, was in the hospital in 2006 with double pneumonia. And there was a good likelihood that he wasn't going to make it through this hospital stay. And we didn't know what to do. And I wasn't the same person of faith that I am today. But I'll tell you what, I was praying ardently. I was praying without ceasing because mm-hmm. it was the only thing that we had. And you know what? It was enough. But that's the what we did. And you don't have to have some style or some method or some model to follow. You just talk to God and ask him to help. Ask him to show you the way. Ask him to comfort you and comfort your friends and your family and whoever is ill. And you know what? It works. It feels better. It's better. And you feel like you have at least some control through God in getting through this terrible thing that you're in the midst of. And it doesn't always end the way you want it to end. In our case, our son ended up being stronger when he came out of it than when he went into the hospital. But the reality of it was it may not have turned out that way. And we would have had to deal with that. But I know that if we had to deal with that, God would have been with us. He was with us during the whole thing. And he was with us as we came out of that. You know, there's a story about somebody was going through trials and all they had was footsteps. And they saw, as they were coming into the trial, they saw two sets of footsteps and they thought, that's God walking with me. And then as they got in the worst part of this trial, there was only one set of footsteps. And they got out of the trial, there's two sets of footsteps. And the guy said, well, wait a minute, God, when I was in the worst place, there's only one set of footsteps. It was me by myself. And God said, no, I was carrying you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what God does. It's what God did to us when our son had these problems. We didn't know what to do, but God carried us. He brought us through. He brought our son through, but he brought us through as we went along.
Absolutely. As I was thinking about this over the last couple of days in times of trial and Bible passages that you think about, I think if you are a Christian or even if you aren't a Christian, the one that always comes to mind for me, I think you know what I'm going to say, the 23rd Psalm. And that's the one that I think if people know only one or two things from the Bible, chances are one of them is going to be the 23rd Psalm. And I know you've told me some things about the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah, it's important. And if you just know one psalm, that would be the one to know. That would be the one to call upon because it fits so well. Now, I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm in the authorized version. Most people would call this the King James Version, but it's the authorized version from 1611 and 1769. And it's one of the most beautiful poems in the English language, I believe, and one of the most meaningful. Allow me to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that beautiful?
That is a beautiful.
And now there's one phrase in there that I think hits home for most people. It hits home for me. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We've all walked through our own valley of the shadow of death. That's why that phrase is so meaningful, because it resonates with us. We know what that's like.
Right.
We know what it is to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. A story I was telling a minute ago about my son being in the hospital, for me, that was my walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But just like the story of the footprints, we weren't alone. We weren't alone. And we had access to a tool, if you will. We had access to something. We had access to God through prayer, and we used it. We used it, and it comforted us, and it helped us. And that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the kind of prayer in this segment, I believe, where something is so wrong that you don't have an easy answer, that it isn't something that's going to be fixed easily. It may not be fixed in the way we think of it at all, but you have to go somewhere. You have to have some help, and help is ready for you. Help is there and available.
You know, there was another scripture verse that I found. This was from Philippians. I like this, so if you allow me to read this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Again, comforting words. You pair that with the 23rd Psalm. These are comforting words.
Yeah, the Bible's filled with words that are comforting if you just know where to look. And we wanted to give you just a couple of ideas. You probably have ideas of your own of great places to look in the Bible when you really need help. Now, Pat, you've designed kind of a way to, what would you do? How would you do when things get really bad? What sort of steps would you go through?
Because, you know, when you're in the midst of a trial, I mean, it's wonderful to read the scriptures, and it absolutely helps. And yes, that is something that you can do. But, you know, sometimes you need more than that, especially when you're going through it. Just like in your case, you know, you have a sick child. It's going to be difficult sometimes, maybe, to pray. It's going to be difficult to read the scriptures. And you know what? That's going to be natural. So it's okay. So there were four things that I thought, how could we coach somebody through this? So first thing, this may sound obvious, but don't panic. God is still in charge. He loves you. He will not abandon you. You are a beloved son or daughter of the Most High, regardless if you're a Christian or not. And here's the thing. Like, you don't have to be a perfect person if you're thinking, I've done too much. You know, I have to clean up my act to come to God. No, you do not. No, you do not. You come to God the way you are. You ask Jesus for help the way you are. He will answer you. He made you. Look, he knows what you've done. You have no secrets from him. If no one else on this earth except yourself knows that you've done something, God knows what you've done. It's okay. Bring it to him, because he loves you and he wants to help you. And by the way, if you're not a Christian and you're going through a time of trial, now might be a good time to consider it. Second thing, if you're part of a church, have them pray for you and with you. We're meant to be in community. You don't have to go through this alone. In fact, it's better that you don't, simply because what I referred to before, when you're in the midst of something, you're not thinking straight. It may be, you may be so deep into worry and anxiety that you find it difficult to pray, that you find it difficult to read the Bible. Completely understandable. That's where other Christians can come in and help you through this, pray for you. Again, if you don't belong to a church, join a church. They will pray for you. They will help you through this. Be patient. Now, this is a tough one, I know. But it goes back to what you were talking about before, how God answers prayers, right? Yes, no, not now, not that way. You may not get things right away, so be patient. There is a reason we call this a faith sometimes. It's not always going to be easy. And the last one, be honest. Be honest. Don't pull your punches. Again, God knows. He knows. He knows what you want. He knows what you need. Ask for what you need and be honest about it. And be honest if whatever the trial is, whatever you're going through, does that align with what God wants too? Be honest that way too, but be honest with God. So those are like the four things that I laid out.
Yeah, and you know, that gives us a pattern. That gives us a model of how to ask. I like very much that you start off, your first one is don't panic, because that's what we do. We panic. We're running around like, you know, our hair's on fire,
right?
Because we don't know what to do. And so you got to take a breath. That's sort of the first thing. Take a breath. Second one is also equally important, and that is, you can call upon other people. You don't have to do this alone. Whatever you're worried about, it's happened to other people. You're not the first person, whatever it is, for this to happen to. God has seen everything you've ever done and everything anybody's ever done, and he's okay with who we are. He wants us to be better, for sure, but that doesn't, just because we've done things that we're not proud of, it doesn't mean we can't approach him. It means quite the opposite. It means he's wanting us to approach him so we'll change. And so being part of a church community gives you an asset, really, an asset. People who will be on your side. I think it's tremendously important. I can't imagine not having a church community that cared about us, and they'll be praying for you, and they'll be doing things to help you, and thinking about you, and trying to be part of the solution. And it's really important, and it's easy to do, but to do it on your own, why would you do that? You be part of a church community, small or large, it doesn't matter. Be part of a community. You have there, be patient. Exactly. We want things, and we want them now, right?
Right.
I want everything fixed, and I want it now. But that isn't the way God works. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. 1,000 years is like a watch in the night, which is 3 hours. God's time is not our time. So we need to be patient. It may not be the right time. And then the last one that you have, I think, is particularly meaningful, is to be honest. You have to start off by being honest. Be honest in your prayer. Nobody else is hearing it. So tell God the truth that you're thinking, and he'll help you by being open and authentic. You open yourself up to God helping you. If you're putting on a show in your prayer, it doesn't help anything. It doesn't help you. And God already knows you're not telling the truth. So you're not fooled.
Right?
He's not fooled. So why not at one place in your life, start off by being honest and authentic. And you know what? If you're honest and authentic in your prayers, just naturally, you'll be honest and authentic in other things. And it will permeate your life. So this is why I like this so much, that this list of four things that you came up with, Pat, I think it's tremendously important. Thank you for doing that.
I will say, I'm not going to take credit for this because I'm going to say this is divinely inspired, honestly, because it just came to me, especially the be honest part. Don't pray the way you think maybe God wants to hear. No. And that's, you know, to me, that's the difference between religion and faith. It's the difference between, you know, claiming you're a Christian and then actually being a follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that could be a path or a road, a journey, if you will, the different elements of faith. But I'll tell you, the first most important thing, be honest. Just be upfront and honest, and God will respond.
Yeah. And we should do that in everything we do. The being honest is such a being honest and authentic. And I think also as Christians, as we go out into the world, people should see us as being authentic and honest. They don't have to see us as perfect because, well, you know what? We're not perfect. I'm the best example of imperfection. But I hope that I would be a pretty good example of authenticity and honesty, if not perfection, because it's more important. And that is a beginning point. You know, when you pray, God is given a chance to change you. It's not so much you're changing God's mind, because God knows what is best in all situations, but it really opens you up to God moving you and changing your mind and causing things to happen in your life that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise, to open your mind to it. As you said, the Holy Spirit is what came upon you and kind of gave you this series of ideas. That I find completely reasonable, because if you're open to it, the Holy Spirit is within you, is indwelling in you, waiting to give you advice, waiting to tell you what to go. In Isaiah, we're told that the teacher is behind you, telling you to go to the right or the left. That's what the Holy Spirit is the teacher who's telling you to go to the right or the left. You just have to have your mind and your heart open to that. And if you're open to it, then you can be guided. If you're so set on doing only what you want to do, when you want to do it, you will never get anywhere through that. But if you just resign and surrender slightly to God, you'll find that you'll be told what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and it'll be a much easier, less stressful life.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to reach out to friends and members of your church or different organizations that are Christians. You know, prayer, the power of prayer, the power of faith can move mountains. So if multiple people are praying, that's only going to multiply the effects. And don't be, you know, whatever it is, don't be embarrassed, because Christians are, look, you're dealing with people that have heard a lot of things, and there's probably not going to be a lot that shocks us. So don't worry about it. If you're a brother and sister in Jesus Christ, or you're just getting to know him, or you want to know him, come forward and ask, and we will help you on that journey. And the last thing, I guess, is when, hey, I'm not seeing an answer here, which can happen. So you may have to be patient. You may have to be patient, and it may not be exactly as you want it to be.
Maybe better.
It may be better.
That's the thing we overlook, that God's answer might be better than the one you had. I think so many times in my life, I think the fact that I'm here today is an absolute demonstration that what I had in mind was one thing, and what I prayed to happen earlier in my life, I got something better out of it. And I would have never thought of it. I would have never thought. Who would have thought that I would have gone to a seminary and become a pastor? I would have never thought that. And all the things that I wanted to do in my early life, they had nothing to do with any of that. And yet, here we are in a better place. Now, I used to want to be rich. I'm not rich. I still like to be rich.
Sure, who wouldn't?
But I'm not. But that was always the first thing. When I listed the things I wanted to do, I want to be rich. Instead, I got better. So don't fight it. You know, God has a plan. You need to yield to the plan. I need to yield to the plan. Pat needs to yield to the plan. Let it be God's plan that we're yielding to, not our own. And chances are it'll be so much better than we can imagine. We'll be shocked at how good it is. But there will be trials, that we will walk through our own valley of the shadow of death. It's just the truth. It's the way life is. It contains these bumps, and it contains things that are worse than bumps. And it's for everybody. No matter who you are, no matter how lucky you think someone else is, they're going through their own version of this in a way that you can't imagine. But the one thing I can tell you is that if you start off in prayer, if you start off in this sort of model, if you start off by looking at whatever your situation is, no matter how bad it seems to be, you start off by not panicking. You start out by first, you start secondly by bringing other people into it to pray for you. Being a member of a church gives you a group of people, a body of Christ that is devoted to helping you. And you need to be patient because things happen in God's time, not ours. And then importantly, you need to be honest. Honest in your prayers, honest in your life, honest in your relationships with everyone. And life would be good.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. Now, you know, Pat and I started this whole thing. We started this with a quote from C.S. Lewis, which we think is so important, and it has been important for us, and I'd like to share it with you as we do in each of our podcasts, because it reminds, hopefully reminds you, but it reminds Pat and I of the importance of our Christianity. C.S. Lewis says, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance. If true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." And that's the thing that we ask for you. We ask that you decide that if this Christianity is true, it would be the most important thing in your life. Pat and I think that Christianity is true. I would say not think. I know that it is. He knows that it is. And we've devoted our life to Jesus Christ, to being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is of infinite importance. Lord, would you watch over us? Would you watch over all of us? Would you help us in these times of trial? Would you be with us? Would you be obviously with us in ways that we can see? Lord, we are dense and we are hard of hearing and we don't understand. Would you make it obvious to us that what we should do? Would you make it obvious to us that when we go in one way or another, that it'd be your way? Would you help us to pause, to be patient, to pause and take a breath and allow our prayers to come to fruition, allow them to come forward so we know what to do and we know that what we do is your will as we go through. And may we always have great faith in you. May all that we do is honor you in Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen.